Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This just in from the Green Berets and Negligees file. From the Green Berets and Negligees file, the Pentagon today is celebrating homos in the military with the keynote speaker. The keynote speaker at the Department of Defense Gay Pride event. How's that? It's all too much, huh? America is run by the criminally insane. So from the Green Berets and Negligees file, the Pentagon is celebrating homos in the military with the keynote speaker at their Gay Pride event declaring the country is safer now that homos may serve openly because we repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was a mistake way back when, right? Saying maybe someday they'll have that for pedophiles. Don't ask, don't tell. It's just a way of wading into filth and perversion in the gradual first tolerance, then acceptance, promotion, and then forcing the perversion on people. Because we repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, our military is stronger and our country is safer, declared the keynote speaker at the Homo Pride event today in Washington. Apparently, the U.S. Supreme Court will rule now tomorrow. You know, people thought maybe yesterday, maybe today. Apparently now it's tomorrow the Supreme Court will issue their homo marriage opinion. And there are many Christian leaders scared to death, virtually scared to death over what may be the result of that ruling. And what's interesting about that is that the court is a Republican court. The judges, for the most part, the judges are judges that were put on the bench by these pro-family, pro-life, conservative Republicans. If you think about, you know, Roe v. Wade, go back 40 years. By the way, we have a DVD here at Bob Inyart Live, 40 years in the wilderness since Roe. If you haven't seen it, you owe it to yourself. 40 years in the wilderness since Roe. If you think about Roe v. Wade, Roe v. Wade was a Republican ruling, right? At the time, 1973, there are six Republican justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. Five of the Republicans voted for Roe. So Roe v. Wade is a Republican ruling. And it was written by the Republican Justice Harry Blackmun. By the end of George W. Bush's two terms, 60% of the federal judiciary had been nominated by Republican presidents, yet they were overwhelmingly pro-abortion. You had 8 years of Ronald Reagan. Since 1980, 8 years of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and then 8 years of George W. Bush. That's a lot of presidents. That's a lot of terms. 60% of the federal judiciary was Republican, and it was overwhelmingly pro-abortion. The Republican judges are the ones who starved to death Terry Schiavo from Republican County Judge Baptist, Southern Baptist George Greer, who's the first to start it, to the 11th Circuit, where they had six Republican judges on the 11th Circuit in Florida. All six, the ones nominated by Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush, all six, including the darling William Pryor, who James Dobson and all those guys, they all lobbied to get him on the bench. Including William Pryor, all six voted against saving Terry. All six voted for the judicial starvation of Terry Schiavo, Terry Schindler Schiavo. All six. So we have the Christian leaders across the country who are just, they're afraid of what this ruling may be. And it's funny because the Supreme Court, nine justices on the U.S. Supreme Court, six and a half of them are Republican judges, six and a half. Now, the half, you know, take a justice, cut it in half, and you can figure out which half, you know, which you, it's up to you, which one you want to say is the Republican half and the Democratic half. But Obama, he's not really quite just picked a judge. He took a George Bush judge and promoted a George Bush federal judge to the U.S. Supreme Court. So do you count that as a Republican or a Democratic judge? Republican, because Jesus was upset with the publicans, and we thought we'd try it again. We have the Republicans or the Democrats. So take your pick. So it's six Republican, and the how do you, Sonia Sotomayor, how do you say Republican or Democrat, right? She's a Bush judge who was then promoted. Sounds pretty bipartisan to me. So you can't say she's a Democratic judge, could you? She was made a federal judge by a Republican pro-life, you know, focus on the family, national right to life endorsed president. So do you say she's, you know, if it wasn't for the pro-life Republicans, she wouldn't be a federal judge. She'd be just, you know, nobody would know her. But it was the Republicans that made her a federal judge. And, you know, you go back to that and they'll make some kind of excuse, like they always make some kind of excuse for putting pro-aborts and pro-sodomites and socialists and leftists in positions of high authority. And they always make excuses, right? Well, George W. Bush, of course he had to promote homosexuals. Of course he had to normalize homosexuality. Of course they had to. Of course. Because, of course, they're going to lie to you. Of course. That's what's the of course part. Now let's go to Barack Obama. So we went from the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, their second annual gay pride gathering. Isn't that just the Department of Defense's second annual gay pride gathering? We went from that to the fear and trepidation with which the Christian national ministries are awaiting the Supreme Court's opinion tomorrow. And they're in fear because it's their court. Right, they put these justices on the bench, and so they're scared to death that yet again they're going to stab them in the back, meaning unborn children, families, family life, churches, and so on. Maybe Mitt Romney will run again, and maybe he'll save us. Because Mitt Romney, you know, he's the hero of the family and the child. Mitt Romney was 20 years ahead of the Boy Scouts. He was advocating that homosexuals be scoutmasters 20 years ago and still during the last campaign. So maybe he'll be resurrected like a phoenix from the ashes and save our country. At least that would be the dream of Focus on the Family. They said, we're so much like Mitt Romney, and that's hard to dispute. It's tragic, but it's hard to dispute that they are so much like Mitt Romney, that they take child killers, pro-sodomite socialist, and misrepresent them as pro-family, pro-life heroes. That's called a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what you call that. So then you have President Obama getting angry today during his energy policy speech. I like when Ronald Reagan said that the federal government doesn't need an energy policy. I like that. Because energy, that's a private industry thing. And you give freedom to private industry and they'll produce more energy than you could use. They'll produce tremendous amounts of energy that the price of energy would fall if only we gave them the freedom to do it. But in these kinds of instances, the government is the problem. So that's why Ronald Reagan said, And I think it was in a presidential debate. And he said, we don't need an energy policy. His opponent is criticizing his energy policy. And Reagan said, well, first of all, the Soviet Union is evil. They're the evil empire. And regarding an energy policy, I don't think we need one. And he wins just these landmark victories. Historic victories. So anyway, President Barack Obama, being a socialist, speaking about the nation's energy policy, said at Georgetown University today that he had no patience for anyone who denied that global warming is a real problem. Forget about, you know, the biggest challenge they have with their global warming propaganda is their biggest enemy is the thermometer. That's their biggest enemy. I mean, when the thermometer is your number one opponent, you're in big trouble because the thermometer doesn't agree with their global warming, the world is ending, fear-mongering. But anyway, he said he lacked patience for anyone, including the thermometer, who would deny that global warming is a real problem. And he said, we don't have time for a meeting of the Flat Earth Society. So there's Obama mocking the evolutionists. Now, why would he bring evolutionists into this? Why would he mock evolutionists by bringing up the Flat Earth Society? Because you know, of course, that the Flat Earth Society is run by Darwinists, right? It's not Christians. It's not creationists. You remember the myth of the Flat Earth Society, right? They always refer to Christians as Flat Earthers. But it's the University of California history professor, Jeffrey Russell, who wrote The Myth of the Flat Earth. He called his paper is his book, Inventing the Flat Earth, Debunking the Myth of the Flat Earth, where the Christian church never taught a flat earth, never taught it. But if you go to the Flat Earth Society today, believe it or not, there is a Flat Earth Society. They do exist. You could become a member if you'd like. And if you listen to Real Science Radio on Fridays, I think a year ago or so, was it? Was it a year ago? September 2011, we covered the Flat Earth Society, and it turns out that the president of the Flat Earth Society, Daniel Shenton, S-A-G-N-T-O-N, he not only believes that the earth is flat, but he also believes in evolution. He's a Darwinist. He's an admitted Darwinist. And so there's an irony there because, of course, evolutionists, atheists, leftists mock Christians. They mock those who believe in God's word, the Bible. They mock creationists by asking if we're members of the Flat Earth Society. They say, what do you believe in the flat earth? And we're like, no, that's the Darwinists. The evolutionists believe in a flat earth. Right? The Flat Earth Society aligns itself not with creationists, but with evolutionists. So why don't we, in fact, we should review a little of that because not everyone who listens to Bob and Your Live during the week tunes into the science show. They might not be aware of this information. But University of California, Santa Barbara, professor of history, Jeffrey Russell, he also has taught at Berkeley and at Harvard. His book, Inventing the Flat Earth, it documents that it was, you know, anti-Christians and people who actually would just fabricate history who invented the flat earth myth. They invented it. And they spread this falsehood that today educated people everywhere believe this myth as though it were true. It's not true. The myth that in the Middle Ages there were scholars and monks and priests and bishops, the church generally, believed that the earth was flat. That's not true. Name three people who taught that the earth was flat in a 1,000-year period. It'd be hard to do. So this anti-Christian the anti-Christians who spread this fabrication, it includes Darwin promoters, like a guy named David White, one of the promoters. And the idea that bishops and monks and ecclesiastical scholars believed in a flat earth, that's simply a prejudice. It's a bigotry. And you know what? There's something about bigots and prejudice that they die hard. It's not easy to kill bigotry and prejudice. And there's been a small army of historians, professional historians, who've been trying now to kill the flat earth myth, and it's hard to kill. It's like a cockroach. It's like a cockroach. How do you kill it? It's pretty hard. You step on it. You know, the liberals will get mad if you step on a cockroach. They'll get upset. They'll say, all life is made in God's image. Don't kill it. And you say, well, what do you think about abortion? I'm pro-choice. That's just part of what it takes to be a leftist these days. You have to want to save a plant and save a bug, but kill a baby. Then you could be a good liberal. So Dr. Russell wrote his book, Inventing the Flat Earth, and he has a brief article online, The Myth of the Flat Earth. And you could get there just by going to our website, kgov.com. You could do /flat earth. That'll get you there, /flat earth. But maybe I'd share with you a few more things about the flat earth. Now, Barack Obama, he's been saying this kind of thing for a long time. When he wants to mock someone, he refers to them as flat earthers. The Creation Magazine, a magazine that Fred Williams and I at Real Science Radio, we love the Creation Magazine. It comes out one issue every 3 months. Strongly recommend you subscribe to it. And they've pointed out that back in March of 2012, Obama was speaking on energy at a community college in Maryland, and he said the same thing. He said, you know, he said, let me tell you something. If some of these folks were around when Columbus set sail, and then his audience was laughing, they must have been founding members of the Flat Earth Society. They would not have believed that the world was round. And that whole story about the flat earthers attacking Columbus, saying you're going to sail off the edge of the earth. I mean, how did the oceans keep filling up with water if it kept pouring off, you know? But anyway, that was all fabricated. That was simply made up. It's make-believe. And this article, there's an article in this recent Creation magazine on the flat earth myth. And it goes through and it documents the fabrication of the flat earth myth. And it's somewhat the story of how they invented this myth is pretty amazing. A famous American author, Washington Irving, you may have heard of Washington Irving. He would write historical novels, but he admitted that he was apt to indulge in the imagination in his novels. And so he wrote Washington Irving, who's maybe, you know, the first bona fide American best-selling novelist. He wrote a book in 1828 called The Life and Voyages of Christopher Columbus. And in the book, he gives this very vivid tale of Columbus, this meeting where he's trying to convince, you know, Queen Isabella and all that. He's trying to convince her that he's going to sail around the earth and find a shortcut to the West Indies, and that he's being challenged by people who say he's going to sail off the edge of the earth and they're all going to get killed. Now, that whole story, that's not true. That never happened in history. There were no such Christians or scholars or monks or royalty or any such who promoted a flat earth, believed in a flat earth. Can you find people today who believe in a flat earth? Well, you could find people who are members of the Flat Earth Society, and for whatever their psychological diagnosis, they say they believe in a flat earth. The president of the Flat Earth Society is a Darwinist. So you could find people today who say they believe in a flat earth. Historians have found a couple people who believed in a flat earth back 800 years ago. Like two. Now, there may have been more, but I've found two that have been documented. And these two are offset by tens of thousands who taught that the earth was a sphere. Tens of thousands. It was not questioned. And yet to this day, you find educated leftist, atheist, agnostics, evolutionist, Darwinist, leftist, who will continue to promote the falsehood that was motivated out of bigotry, prejudice, that Christians taught the flat earth. And it's not true, right? It's simply not true. In fact, you have monarchs throughout the Middle Ages, going back to the 400s, and throughout the Middle Ages, which is a better term than the Dark Ages, but throughout the Middle Ages. And these, by the way, in the Middle Ages, they never decriminalized murder of children or adultery. You might have had monarchs who committed adultery, but they didn't decriminalize adultery, right? You require democracy to decriminalize adultery. The monarchs, they may have been thieves, but they didn't decriminalize stealing. So you need democracy to help that legal atrocity come to fruition. Democracy where people can vote to take money from their neighbors and use it for their own benefits. Democracy is a great aid toward decriminalizing thou shalt not steal. So God said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder. And when the people rule and the laws are made by the majority, the people say, well, we like to take money from our neighbor. We like to kill the innocent. We like to commit adultery. And so pretty soon under democracies, you have adultery is decriminalized. It's now not only is it legal, but you can't find a Christian leader, not one out of 1,000, who even knows that it was once against the law. Not one. If they know it, they keep it as a deep, dark secret in their heart of hearts that adultery was a crime. And so you have monarchs during the Middle Ages who their symbol of authority would be a globe with a cross over the globe, and they would hold that in their hand. In, for example, the coronation portrait of Richard II of England, his portrait hanging in Westminster Abbey to this day, and he's holding the symbol of monarchy, of Christ ruling over the globe of the earth. And so you go all the way back, and, you know, you go to the 1200s, Thomas Aquinas, who's what, the second most influential Christian theologian after Augustine? I guess you'd say he'd have to be third if you count Plato. But Plato's not a Christian. But he's probably the most influential Christian theologian. And so then you have Augustine, then you have Thomas Aquinas. And Thomas Aquinas, in his greatest work, he wrote that the physicist proves the earth to be round by one means, and the astronomer proves it to be round by another means. That's Thomas Aquinas. And then remember, the whole church rebelled against him because they thought the earth was flat? No. The whole church believed, whenever the topic came up, that the earth was round. It was a sphere, which is the implication you get out of the Bible. And so the bigotry, the hatred, the prejudice against Christians, we'll use at the simplest, at the least opportunity, their favorite ways of mocking those who believe in Jesus Christ. And do you think the media reporting today that Barack Obama mocked the global warming skeptics as members of the Flat Earth Society, you think the media will point out that there never was a flat earth myth, a flat earth belief? You think they'll, just in their reporting, right, just at the bottom of the article, and say, well, for the record, the church never taught the earth was flat. The creationists never taught the earth was flat. This was invented and used in a bigoted way against Christians by the atheist and the historical revisionist. You think they'll fit that somewhere? You think the reporters will put it in the bottom of the article, but then it'll just get cut by the editor because there's not enough space? No, it won't figure in at all. Because the world, in opposition to Jesus Christ, prefers its lies. They take their own drugs. They prefer the cliches that they feel insulate them against the message that there is a God. He made us in his image. When you disobey God, you do so at your peril, because one day you will stand before Jesus Christ. But they feel emboldened by their cliches that Christians are ignorant, that creationists are fools, they don't know science, they don't know history. They feel emboldened by these things. And so they take the greatest of perversions, homosexuality, and they celebrate it. It's one thing about sexual immorality, garden variety, fornication, adultery. For centuries, people commit adultery, and then they didn't brag about it, you know? They didn't brag about it. They didn't brag to their kids. They didn't come out and say, I'm an adulterer, and I want you to respect me for my adultery. You know, people tended to be ashamed. But under democracy, the majority rule, and Jesus said the majority are evil. Remember, Jesus said, you people, right? He'd speak to a crowd, and he'd say, now you people being evil, even you people should realize, you know, X, Y, Z. But the majority are going to hell, Jesus said. So the majority want to commit adultery and steal and kill their innocent children and the elderly through euthanasia and the infirm. So, hey, our website is KGOV, KGOV.com. The truth is not hard to find. Just read it in the Word. God bless you.